Can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
All right. Greetings, brethren. I guess my first sermon, they gave me the big boy's mic, and look, I'm not even nervous. But any which way, thank God to be here for this opportunity. This message might sound a bit preachy, but as they say, we're in church, so what do you expect? So my title is how to keep the Sabbath. The Sabbath day, the only commandment that we're reminded of to remember, and even with the Almighty himself telling us to remember and outline why, the world still thumbs its nose at his Sabbath. But I am not here today to relitigate which day is correct. Elder Rain did a masterful job of explaining which day is the Sabbath, proving the Sabbath's validity and why people have tried to change it over time, and that the Saturday Sabbath should be kept is a done debate, as we can see by all of us being here. Even those of us who do observe the Sabbath after one fashion or another have little understanding of what is really at stake for those who keep the correct day. And for those who do not, and why you cannot permit yourself to misunderstand God's fourth commandment. There still remains a host of related questions pertaining to how to observe the seventh day correctly. Since it is God who established the Sabbath, we must look in his word for guidelines, revealing how to keep the way in a way that's pleasing to him. This sermon was born from Elder Rain's sermon a couple of weeks back. We know we must keep the Sabbath. And it's right. But how do we keep it? Or as Brother Wilson would say, how do we observe it? And I guess there's a discrepancy in the word keep and use, but when you keep something, you do it continuously. Observe is what you do within something that you keep. As you probably have heard me mention several times before, I grew up in Jamaica in a Sabbath-keeping assembly. And Sabbath did not start Saturday morning. It started Friday sunset, as the Holy Scripture says. The Bible says we have a preparation there. And if you think about it, the Sabbath is not the only day that was given a name in the Bible. The day before the Sabbath, the preparation day, was also given a name. The Sabbath is so serious that the Almighty gave you an entire day to prepare. Do you realize how profound that is? That what we can do on the Sabbath is limited, but it is limited for our benefit. But on that day, before the Sabbath, boy, when we were in Jamaica, did we prepare. And we did not only prepare food. First, our mind was prepared. If we had school, preparation started on the Thursday night. If there was no school, preparation started early Friday morning. Breakfast was at 7:30. You know, the other day I went out with some associates for breakfast at about 9 o'clock, and everyone was complaining. 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning is too early. But, you know, they needed to go with my grandmother. Sometimes at 6:30 we're having breakfast. Her mind must be prepared. Then, after breakfast, my grandmother went in the kitchen, baking her famous potato pudding. This was sweet potato, not Irish. Irish potato was not a staple for us, and thank the Lord for that, because I really dislike that thing. This was in the days where kitchen was separated from the house, and we had fire outside, fire, not even a fire stove, just a fire pit outside, not a stove. But the smoky smell of the pudding was the best. Grandfather and the boys would be cleaning up around the yard, and girls would go in the house working, shining the floor. The floors are so shine from using that coconut, brush husk that you'll think you're walking on water. It was that shine. And I think that's why all the ladies in my family now has knee problems. The house and the yard was fit for a king to enter. And as I said, not only food was prepared, our clothes were pressed, shoes were shined to the nines, for a friendly competition on Sabbath morning to see was the shiniest shoes. We had sunset prayers, which was done every day. Sabbath night, the children would play Bible games. Oh, and if I forgot to mention, we had to bathe from Friday evening. No bathing on Sabbath morning. Just wipe your, get a rag and wipe yourself down. Some people might be wondering, so what's the difference? But my grandmother, it made a difference. We had to meet in the house of the Almighty by 9 a.m. sharp. No stragglers. And when you reach at 9 a.m., means you were late. Usually when you reach, people were in the sanctuary sitting down, reading or singing to the Almighty until service began. And yes, we had to walk up a hill both ways. And this hill was actually called Hersill. This hill was so steep that by the time you reached the top of this hill, you just felt like dying. I guess the name Hersill, you understand why now. Then I came to Canada, and I experienced something totally different. With the hustle and bustle of society, no real preparation. You check when sunset, and you kind of cease from your work. Going into the assembly on Sabbath, you'd see Tim's cups, Starbucks cups. You see children and parents alike playing games on their phones or whatever device that they have at hand. In Jamaica, parents sat behind their children. And if you slouch, or if you didn't pay attention, bam, in the back of your head. Pay attention. People go into restaurants after service because the saying goes here, it's okay if you don't make it an habit. So I wonder, why the disconnect? Are we reading two different Bibles? Is there a cultural? Is it a cultural thing? Does the Bible not say how the Sabbath should be kept? Let us read it for ourselves. Turn your Bibles to Exodus 20. Starting verse 8, it says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord, thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor the stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." The first thing the Almighty says is that we must remember the Sabbath day. But the world says, no, forget the Sabbath day because it's done away with. This one commandment have what, the who, the where, the why, and the how. The Almighty knew that we'd have questions about this commandment. It is the longest and most in-depth and detailed commandment written in the Ten Commandments. Since it gives us the how, we must be able to follow through, which is easier said than done. How must we keep it? The Bible says we must keep it holy and rest. Everything within thy gates or within your control must refrain from work. I believe the Bible is specific on how the Sabbath should be observed, but we love to push the envelope until it does become a bad habit. As we look at the fourth commandment, we notice that it's a bridge between two great commandments. Matthew 22, starting at verse 34, says, "But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, 'Master, which is the great commandments in the law?' Yeshua said unto him, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two hang all the laws and the prophets.'" The fourth commandment is about the love for your God by spending time with him. And the love for your fellow man if you have a business by not permitting him to work. It is about the sanctity of time. Time, as most think, is not secular. The time we give to him in rest and worship is holy and set apart. So if we treat this day as any other day, we're desecrating it.
We're profaning God's holy day. The Sabbath is a foretaste of our eternal rest. Romans 7:12 says, therefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy, just, and good. Thus, we must keep the Sabbath holy, which means set apart. But set apart in two aspects. Set apart from sin, and set apart for the Almighty and for the Almighty use. It belongs to Him, but in His graciousness, He made it for us. Because the Bible says the Sabbath was made for man. Next, we must rest. The Almighty did not rest because He was tired. He rests because He had finished doing His creation. There's a thought out there that by merely not working, you're keeping and observing the Sabbath. This is why you'll find some Sabbath keepers staying home and sleeping on the Sabbath, and they say they're keeping the Sabbath holy and they're rested. But if this was the case, lots more people than we thought would be keeping the Sabbath. The unemployed would be keeping the Sabbath because they don't have any work. The sick who are in the hospital not doing anything, they would be keeping the Sabbath because they're not working. Or just a lazy person who feel like doing nothing would be keeping Sabbath because they don't have any work. A whole host of people would be observing the Sabbath. But how you observe is way more than not working. It is more than merely resting. The Bible tells us in Genesis that we are made in God's image. But I suspect when we think of image, we think purely of an external form, physical features, what one looks like. But image is deeper than that. Image has its roots in the Latin word imitare, meaning copy or imitate. So since we are made in the Almighty's image, we must imitate what the Almighty does. And what did the Almighty did? He rest and kept the day holy. Before we keep it, we must prepare the Sabbath. And the Almighty showed us in Exodus 16 how to do part of it. Exodus 16, starting in verse 2. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or not. And it came to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. Verse 13. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew lay was gone up, behold, up on the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as a hoarfrost on the ground. Verse 15, and I think verse 15 is kind of a comedic verse, because manna means actually, what is it? And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna. So if you read it again and put the meaning in it, it goes, and when the children of Israel saw it, and they said to one another, it is, what is it? And for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, and Omar for every man according to the number of your person. Take ye every man for which are in his tents. And Moses said, verse 19, and Moses said, let no man leave till morning. And he said unto them, this is which the Lord has said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake which ye may bake today, and boil which ye may boil, that which remaineth over lay up for you that is kept in the morning. And they laid up till the morning, and Moses bathed them, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, eat today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. So you're not supposed to go out and look for any food. You're supposed to, what the Lord provide from the preparation day, that's what you're supposed to eat. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath day, and there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. That's what should happen to us. If all the stores are closed, when some of us, you know, during Sabbath go to restaurants, we'll find none was closed. Everything was closed. And then we'll learn to keep the Sabbath. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath. Therefore he has given you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the Sabbath day. The Almighty made sure he gave the people a double portion so that they did not have to go out and do any work on the Sabbath day to get food to eat. See, this is about trusting and being obedient to the Almighty. And one thing I want you to notice in Exodus 16 that the Sabbath was mentioned before the Ten Commandments. So as most people will tell you that, oh, the Sabbath is from Mount Sinai. Even if you just read Exodus, it will show you that it was way before then. The lesson here is that the Almighty could be trusted to meet all our daily needs. It was also intended to teach them to lean in humble daily dependence on God's faithfulness to meet all our needs. That's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:11, these things happen to them as an example, but they are written down for our instruction. So if these are for an example and written down for our instruction, why are we not following the Lord's ways? On the preparation day, your clothes must be ready. Whatever you're wearing to go to meet your king should be ready. Just like everything should be prepared. Moses told the people to wash their clothes before they went and worship the Almighty. If you're going to a party or going to a function, I can almost guarantee that you will know well in advance what you're wearing and how you will look. So if you're going to church and you have one piece of clothes, remember, you're going to see the king. You should make sure that one piece of clothes is washed, pressed, looks good, looks like $1 million. So many times I see people, but not people from this congregation, because I know people from this congregation, they're all GQs. They just like dapper dons. But so many people, they look like they just roll out of bed. That should not be. We are a royal priesthood. We are royalty. Going to see the king, we should dress appropriately. Also, on the preparation day, we should prepare an offering, something that we don't talk about too much. Everyone knows that when you're going to see a king, you should take a gift or an offering to see the king. I am sometimes guilty of this, but it makes me shake my head when I see us coming into the house of the Lord empty-handed. Matthew 2:1 says, now after Yahshua was born in Bethlehem of Judah in the days of Herod, the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his stars in the east, and have come to worship him. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And what did they do? And they opened their treasures and presented gift to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. What? So the wise men brought gift. So that means they must have read 1 Chronicles 16:29. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. I would muster a guess that because we are a body that do not put much emphasis on offering, it's second thought to us. Yes, we have the offering box out there, but there's no real reminder of us for us to bring an offering. So we come to the Lord empty-handed. But we all expect something from him. Next, on the preparation day, you don't wait until you reach the sanctuary. Well, this should be the first thing. Your mind should be prepared. You should prepare your mind. Focus on the Lord. Everything about God. Study your word. Just be on him. Kind of put secular things away. You got to learn to discipline yourself to keep your thoughts on the Almighty. So, as we do our utmost to prepare for the Sabbath, and we realize we may not finish doing what we have to do before sunset, should we stop? Does 1 minute make a difference? Does timing matter? How far can we go into the Sabbath doing our work? I'll propose a rhetorical question to you. A moment in time, you love this person. This is the person, this is the person of your dreams. But you have not said I do's yet. Is it a sin to do anything sexual? 1 minute later, a minister comes in and you say, I do. Now you can do whatever you want. See how change in time and circumstances change things? There's a demarcation point and time does matter. Really, if you think about it, the weekly preparation there is analogous for what we're preparing for. Right now, this life is our preparation day. We are preparing for our millennium rest, our Sabbath rest. We are working double hard now to prepare for the rest. But guess what? Once our preparation time is done, once the Sabbath starts, if we're not finished preparing, that will be it for us. No more extension. So time does matter. Some may say, you have to work too hard to prepare. So it's kind of a burden. You know, if you think about it too, before any vacation, any relaxation time, you put anyone, especially if you have kids, you put a tremendous amount of effort preparing, getting your stuff ready so you can prepare to have this vacation. And when you think about the vacation, you said, you know what? Yeah, it's going to be worth it. So you put all that effort in. That's the same with the Sabbath. On the preparation day, you got to put all that effort in because a day like today, you just can come, forget about the troubles of the world, just relax and enjoy yourself. Hebrew 4 says, There remain a rest to the people of God. For he that is entering into the rest is also ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us therefore enter into that rest, lest any man fall into the same example of unbelief. Brethren, the plan of the devil through rationalization and compromise, so many of us will be compromised. We won't know how to stand for our belief. Daniel and the three Hebrew boys could have compromised, but they did not. We cannot start making small compromises. Honor God in the little things, and you'll see, he'll honor you. We should not even look like we are worshiping another God. You know, I have a lot of clients who are Hindu, and they have all these little gods all around them. And when we're cleaning, what I do, if I see one, I take it down, put it to my back, and I do what I have to do. I don't want them to have the appearance that I'm bowing down, kneeling down, or doing anything in front of their gods. So can we keep the Sabbath be a personal preference? No, I don't think so, because the Almighty does not do buffets. You can't pick and choose. Sometimes we are indifferent and too sloppy in how we do keep the Sabbath. There is an erosion and a devaluation of what the Sabbath is. It's evolving into just another day. We have to continue to grow in the Sabbath, continue to find out how the Almighty wants us to keep it. We must guard the edges. Do not let anything encroach on it. But can you work on the Sabbath? As the previous verse said, we will cease from our work. The Bible says it is good to do good. Matthew 12:5 says, the priest profaned the Sabbath and was held blameless. They do work that is not allowed to be done on the Sabbath by a regular person. When we set up Sabbath mornings, we are working, but we're doing it to the Lord, so the Lord does not hold it against us. If the Almighty requires it, it is not a sin. But one thing we cannot do, we cannot get too busy doing work in the sanctuary and forget to sit down and listen to the sermon. We got to take the example of Mary and Martha. When Yahshua was in the house and Martha was in the kitchen doing her stuff, she went to Yahshua and said, Yahshua, Mary should be helping me in the kitchen. And what did Yahshua say to her? No, Mary is doing the better thing. She's sitting at his feet listening to the words for edification. Much of the burden, people say, is on the Sabbath was placed here by man, especially by our friends. Well, I wouldn't say our friends, but the Pharisees. The Pharisees put restriction on the law to make sure that you don't walk too far. If you have like a handkerchief, they say you can't put it in your belt and take it out to blow your nose because that's work. But guess what? You can sew it onto your clothes and lift up your clothes and blow your nose, which does not make sense to me. You know, in grade seven, I had a friend, you know, in one of my science class. And, you know, the equation for work is force equals distance. And the teacher would always say to him, Jonathan, shut up and do your work. And one day he came back with a clever quip. He says, sir, I am working. He goes, work equals force times distance. I'm moving my mouth. My jaws are the force, and it's going a certain distance. So I am doing work. Teacher couldn't do anything but laugh because technically, by the letter of the law, he was right. And that's what the Pharisees do. They do by the letter, but they forget about the intent of the law. And then they put all these restrictions around the law and make it burdensome for people. With some people, other than the day we keep, there's no difference between Sunday worshipers and Sabbath worshiper. I have a friend who says he's a Sabbath keeper. And probably if I call him right now, he's probably at work. Both keep the days the same way. Psalms 122 verse 1 says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Sabbath morning is here. And because you're glad to, when you enter into the house of the Lord, we must, Ecclesiastes 5 says, keep thy foot when thou goest into the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give to the sacrifice of fools. For they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. The Sabbath is a holy convocation, a coming together of the Most High's people. Leviticus 23:1 says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feast of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocation, even these are my feasts. 6 days shall the work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, and all the convocation, ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. Isaiah 66 says, and it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come and worship before me, saith the Lord. We're not merely to stay on our own. We must spend time with the Almighty and with each other. Sabbath is more than just resting. It is proclaiming your faith. The Sabbath teaches us to set aside time for those you love, mainly the Almighty God. Read his words. Read the love letters that he's given to you, the Bible. We need to reconnect to God. Sabbath is a time that we must return to him. The root word for the Sabbath is shin betav, which means return. The Sabbath gives us the opportunity to return, to reconnect, to find our center, which is God, so that we can begin another week again. How do you imitate or love someone you do not know? You got to spend that quality time. And I'll tell you the truth. I'm guilty of it. I don't spend as much time as I should with the Almighty. Look, God asks us for one day. You're going to give him that one day. So remove any distraction that will take you away from that time. But, you know, what a lot of us do instead of building that relationship, they do what Isaiah 58 says. Some of us do. Isaiah 58, starting in verse 13. If you turn your foot away from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, not finding your own pleasure, not speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high places of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Our conversation must be different. Our activities must be different. There must be something that are delightful for the Sabbath, and it's not the thing of the world. Exodus 20 tells us to avoid work. We must be careful how we think, or how we and how our thinking must change. But as I said before, it requires discipline. You can discipline yourself and train your mind to think about only that is holy and only what is holy on the Sabbath day. Sabbath keeping is that careful effort to ensure that all of your thinking, all of your talking is holy. This is an extremely holy day because it reflects the holiness of the Almighty. 1 Peter 1:15 says, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Luke 6:45 says, a good man out of the good treasures of his heart bring forth good and evil. A good man out of the good treasures of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart bring forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. You can also read Matthew 15:17-18, and Ephesians 4:29. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. You know, when you're in love, the whole world knows. If someone mentioned food, you'll mention your sweetheart name, and they'll say, I'm talking about food, and you'll say, oh, okay. But your sweetheart is always on your mind. Every opportunity you get, you speak about that person. Then if Yahshua is the lover of our soul, everything we speak about, every time we think about something, his name should come out of our mouths. Especially on the Sabbath. True worship, true Sabbath worship starts in the heart. So that's why you got to be careful of how you speak and what you speak. I know for myself, many times we're having conversation outside and we're talking about the Bible, we're discussing the sermon, but the conversation will slowly slide into something not about the Sabbath, something else, and go way off track. And it's so subtle sometimes that you don't even notice it. So we must be careful, because this is how the enemy creeps in and starts taking over. Continuing in Isaiah 58, same verse 13. What is finding your own pleasure? Is the Bible saying you cannot have pleasure on the Sabbath? In whatever form that may come in? No, I don't think so. The Sabbath itself is pleasurable. Eating is pleasurable. So is the Bible saying that you cannot eat? No, I don't think so either. I don't know, for people my age, when I was growing up, I used to go into certain business places, and they used to say, what is your pleasure? And I always say, just think about the word, but it never dawned on me until I start doing this. The word pleasure is defined in ESV Version Bible and JPS Tanakh as business. Now, when it's defined as that, and you put it into context, you can understand the verse better. The Almighty is saying, don't do your own business. Do His business. Because back in the day, whatever profession you have, whatever profession you did, it was considered your pleasure. It is inevitable that when you speak after Sabbath, two subjects always come up. Can you cook on the Sabbath? And can you dine out on the Sabbath? I'll start off with cooking. I will say this. I'll just say this about cooking. The seventh-day Sabbath and atonement are the only ones that use the same word for Sabbath. Right? And we know atonement, no food is prepared because it's a fast day. It is holy. Right? Exodus 12:16 says, and in the first day there shall be an holy convocation, in the seventh day, and there shall be an holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat. That only must be done. So you see, the other days, you can prepare something to eat. But on atonement, and on the seventh-day Sabbath, you're not supposed to prepare anything to eat. That's why you have the what? Preparation day on Friday for the seventh-day Sabbath. So unless it's an emergency, cooking should not be done. So what's in our control? Think about that word. The topic of dining comes up. And the refrain usually is, I don't see anything wrong. After all, they'll be working whether or not you go. I have often heard that once you keep the Sabbath, how it's observed, sometime in the things you do, i.e. buying coffee on the Sabbath, is a personal choice as long as it's not against your conscience. I think this is a big cop-out. And the Bible does not teach this. Here's a phrase, as I say, to remember, not in your control. Because people say, you go out and buy, you can buy stuff because you're paying for your phone bill. It's not in your control. You can't tell them, I guess you could tell them to cut off your phone for that one day. But the electrical bill, it's not in your control, unless you want to tell them to turn off the light. It's not in your control. People have to take the bus and they got to pay. It's not in your control. The Almighty understands. There are certain things that the Almighty will understand. But, you know, people try to come up with a whole bunch of excuses and they'll come with all kind of questions to trip you up just because the way you're supposed to keep the Sabbath does not fit in with how they want to keep the Sabbath. God made this day holy. When something is holy, it's the opposite of common or profane. God elevated this day to a special status. It is sacred and pure, belonging to God. And it is a part of time that is wholly devoted to God. Therefore, since the Sabbath is a holy time and God made it holy, it is up to His children to keep it that way. When you go out to eat at a restaurant on the Sabbath, are we keeping that day sacred and holy? Are we keeping holy by spending His holy time in the company of those who are profane in the Sabbath? They are violating the Almighty's law. No one has the right to do this. It is a sanctified, set apart. Is it sanctified? Means set apart by going to a restaurant? Is it somehow elevated by doing this? Is it making this day more devoted to God? Or are we simply using it just because we want to enjoy ourselves. I believe that Apostle Paul's words apply to our conduct every day of our lives, and especially the Sabbath. It says, follow peace with all men, and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. And as I read before, be holy, for I am holy. This does not mean that we go around trying to establish our own righteousness, like the Pharisees did. No, instead we seek to follow God's way and allow the Holy Spirit to lead. It is not enough to have the Holy Spirit. We must also be led by the Holy Spirit, Romans 8:14. So in order to protect and safeguard the Sabbath, God puts some restriction on the observance of this day. The number one restriction was, you should not work. The Most High was very specific in this. He legislated that everyone have this day off. The servants were not to work. The children were not to work. A stranger, a person who was not of Israel could not work. Even the animals were given the day off. You know, people might think this is weird, but, you know, my van is at home, if my friend calls and want a bar to do something, I tell them, no, my van does not work on the Sabbath, and my van stays in my garage. So you might think that's gone too far, but no, nothing I think I should work, because God has used it tremendously to bless me, so I let it rest too. It is absolutely clear that no one is to do any work on the Sabbath. This is important to understand, because when the Messiah returns, I guarantee you that there will be no restaurants operating on the Sabbath. Absolutely no one will be working. Think about it. The Sabbath pictures the millennium rest of our Messiah. Isn't it ironic that we would celebrate the Sabbath by doing something that the Messiah himself would not allow to be done when he institutes his kingdom? What we do not realize, we should be living the kingdom life now. We should not wait until the Messiah comes. Well, it would be too late then anyway, to say that we're going to try and live kingdom life. It starts now. So what does this mean? It was not the Almighty's intention for us to go to a restaurant on Sabbath, whether people choose to or not. The fact is that people are working in restaurants are violating God's day commanded rest. Ignorance of the law is no excuse, especially now that the Messiah has come with the full knowledge of God. Acts 17:30 says, if we go to a restaurant to purchase their food, are we not in some way contributing to breaking the Sabbath? Are we not condoning it? Are we not being a party to lawlessness? Think about it. In our own judicial system, a person who aids or contributes to the commission of a crime or offense is considered what? I heard a word over there somewhere. An accessory to the crime. Are human judges more righteous than God? Will God judge his people differently? There are those who don't understand the Sabbath, I understand. But there are those who willfully sear their conscience just to go with the crowd. Additionally, most of us would not consider forcing an employee or a servant to work on the Most High Sabbath. There are those who believe that when you visit a restaurant establishment that makes waiters or waitresses and cooks are not working for you, they are working for their employee. The idea is that you're going to work whether or not you are there. We're not making them work on the Sabbath. This, I think, is, for lack of a better word, a silly argument put forth by those who do not see the sanctity and the holiness of the Sabbath. We would not say, a thief is a thief. So you see a thief, he stole something, and you're going to say, you know what, I'm going to purchase it or take it from him, because he's a thief anyways, and so that's what he does. It doesn't matter. You would not use that. Even with a There's so many other things, even with drug dealers, you know. I mean, I could go on, but any which way, yeah. It's just crazy how people think of certain things. When we frequent a restaurant, we're hiring a servant on a temporary basis while we're there. It may be true that we are not making them be on their job. And, you know, when I think about it, too, that might not be also true, because how do you know you're not causing them to work? Because if we as a body say that we're going to go out to a restaurant and the owner knows that we're coming or we're called to make a reservation, I, as an owner, what I would do, I would call in someone and say, you know, we're going to be busy today. We have a party coming in. Can you come in and work for a few hours? So are we causing them to work then? Answer would be, yes, we're causing them to work. So you can't say you're not causing them to work. So, but we, and even if none of those things occur, we certainly do not decrease their workload when we go. We actually increase the amount of work that they do. In the case of the waiter and waitresses, these people are directly in our employ. And guess what? If they do a good job, we will do what? Tip. Yeah, we'll tip them, depending on how well they work for us. Restaurant owners pay very little and expect them to get the majority of their pay in tips. There's no escaping this. When we are there, they are our servants. They serve us, and the work they do for us is definitely in our control. The work they do for others is not in our control. The work that they do for us is directly in our control. That makes the work that they do for us our responsibility. We don't make people work in a bowling alley, amusement park, or movie theaters anymore when we go there than we do the restaurant employees. In fact, they work probably less in comparison. We don't force people in any business to work on the Sabbath. But would it be right in God's sight to do business with them on the Sabbath day? Like, it's kind of weird sometimes, because you think about it. We have this weird affinity with restaurant. We want to go to a restaurant. But if I tell you to go grocery shopping, you go, that's wrong. So what is the difference? It doesn't make sense to me. What the difference with the restaurant is, we love our belly. So we rationalize, because, you know, food, we'll have to have that food. The main difference is that the restaurant employees have to work harder for us than the clerks in the store. The spirit of the law, as taught by our master, says that only in such an emergency situation that life, limb, or property is in danger should we be permitted to buy anything or do any work or cause anyone else to work on the Sabbath. Some may insist that these people do not work for you because you do not pay their salary. However, in terms of their wages, any restaurant manager will tell you that the price on the menu covers three things: food, operating costs, and wages. So you do pay their wages. There's a story of a man who works in a restaurant, and they wrote on the bottom of the paycheck, "Remember, customers make your paycheck possible." God says that our servants are not to work, even if they are the strangers within our gates, within our control. They do not work when it's within our control, the chef, the waiter. When God says that those who are within our gates must not work, this means inside your home, our property, or within the whole city gates. But the underlying meaning is those who are within our immediate control should not work, which applies to the waiter and the waitresses at the restaurant. Brethren, we need to see sin through God's eye. We need to realize how severe this is from God's point of view. 6 days you may work be done, but the 7 days is the Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work on the Sabbath, he shall surely be put to death. Exodus 35:15 tells you this. God repeats this four chapters later. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day there shall be to you a holy day, a Sabbath of rest to you, to the Lord. Whosoever doeth work therein shall be put to death. Exodus 35 verse 2 says. This decree was not just an idle threat. Numbers 15. The man caught gathering sticks and the Sabbath was stoned to death. It says, and while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man. Sorry. Numbers 15, 32 to 36 says, and while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath. And they found him gathering sticks, brought him to Moses and Aaron, and unto all the congregation. And they put him inward, because it was not declared what should be done to him. And the Lord said unto Moses, the man shall be surely put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. So, in the eyes of God, this is serious business. We need to realize that what may appear to be a small thing to us is no small thing to God. There's many examples in scriptures of things that appear to be small or insignificant to the people of Israel. Yet to the Almighty, it's an abomination. The idolatrous ritual of holding the tamarisk branch to the nose may have appeared innocent and quite harmless to Israel. But the prophet Ezekiel said in Ezekiel 8, 15 and verse 17, then he said unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Turn thee yet, and thou shalt see greater abomination than these. Then he said unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing to the house of Judah that they commit the abomination which they commit here? For they have filled the land with violence, and have returned to provoke me to anger. And lo, they put the branch to their nose. Brethren, as I come to a close, I will just finish with one verse with what from Brother Victor's message last week. And it was about fear. And it's Proverbs 9, verse 10. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Brethren, we need to understand, humble ourselves, and need to know what the Lord expects of us on his holy Sabbath day. We can't think because we keep the Sabbath, because we come to church and we're here, we can do, speak, and do anything after. We have to be in full obedience and full compliance to the Almighty. Brethren, have yourself a blessed Sabbath, and thank you for listening.